This is the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number three of the Greg Peterson Experience right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And with that, it means that it is midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, which means everyone on the continental 48 states is experiencing Saturday. That means that we've got to go hard and heavy on the college football betting board for today. Really the last time that we're going to be able to do that, because with bowl games, it's going to be a case in which you wind up getting some college football games on like weekends and everything like that, but you don't necessarily get the full slate like we're getting today. And obviously, this is not quite as full of a slate as we've wound up seeing in the past. And by the way, I think that there's some FCS football games that are going to be going down today as well. I don't necessarily take a look at FCS football myself, but hey, a little bit of a shout out there for those guys out there that do wind up capping it, as I know that it has become a little bit more and more popular because they wound up playing randomly in the spring last year. That was a little bit of a byproduct of COVID-19, but we've certainly got some good football that is going to be going down today. So how about if we start with the earliest game? That would be Baylor versus Oklahoma State. We got Oklahoma State finding themselves in most spots about a 6-point favorite. I'm seeing a straight 6.5 pop up here where I'm doing this broadcast from Circus Sportsbook. And your total on this game, it is anywhere between 45 and 46. This has shrunk from the total that we wound up seeing earlier, 49, and I do think that it's the correct move. Now, here at 46, it's a little bit more of a stay away. At 49, because you do wind up just doing the math with the touchdowns and everything like that, a little bit more of a critical number. I do think that now it's a little bit less of a play, but I do think that you're going to see both teams be able to hold it down, because when it comes to Baylor, Dave Aranda has done an absolutely tremendous job with regards to this defense. You've got a Baylor team that they do wind up having a couple deficiencies on offense, but they always make up for it with the fact that they've got one of the strongest defenses in college football. And I mean, gone are the days of Oklahoma State being just a complete and utter doormat when it comes to defense as well. You just take a look at the Big 12 in general. This is a conference that year in and year out, it's always all about these high-powered offenses. It's always all about, oh, who's going to be able to get to like 50 first in so many of these games. And that's not going to be the case in this one. What I think is going to be very critical is the ground game. And I do think that Baylor has a little bit of a leg up. I love what Abram Smith has been able to do with this team. He's been able to average 6.5 yards per carry. He's been able to give you 12 touchdowns. He's been absolutely tremendous recently for this bunch as well. At least 117 yards in 4 out of the last 5 games. So this is a Baylor team that they're moving the ball magnificently on the ground. Now, the counter to that is Oklahoma State has been able to do a great job of being able to lock things down on the ground. One of the top 10 rush defenses in all of college football, but Oklahoma State, I do think, can be at a little bit more in this game with Oklahoma State as well. What I do have a little bit of a concern with, are you going to be having Spencer Sanders wind up turning the ball over? He's a guy that they haven't necessarily asked too much from. In that win over Oklahoma, he was able to give you a touchdown, but he also wound up having 2 interceptions in that game. And you've got to wonder if he winds up doing that again this week against Baylor, would that cost him a little bit too much? I think that the answer is yes. This is a Baylor team that they may be able to thrive on being able to get some turnovers themselves. I do like that they've been able to rein things as well with regards to Jerry Bohannon not necessarily turning the ball over as well. He's been a guy that has only thrown 6 interceptions this year. They haven't necessarily asked too much out of him, which I think is very important. When it comes to this Baylor team, you just want to be able to have a situation which you don't want to be forcing to, you don't want to be forced to go out to the air too much. And I do think that they are going to be able to do a good job with a just controlled aerial attack as well. So I think that that is going to be incredibly important for Baylor. I think that Baylor is going to be able to hold up on the ground themselves. When it comes to Baylor, they're not necessarily as good of a rush defense when it comes to things as Oklahoma State, but they've also been able to do a good job of bending but not breaking as well. I think that being able to force a turnover too is going to be very important, because those turnovers, they do wind up being spread killers in a lot of situations when it comes to Baylor as well. They have been dealing with a little bit of injury on their secondary. You've got Terrell Bernard, who wound up missing the game, but it looks like he's probably going to be, it seems like there's a case that he might be able to play in this game as well. So you always want to be noting that. And when it comes to Oklahoma State, they're a little bit banged up in the backfield as well, which I think that that's going to be playing into this as well. I think that Baylor should be able to win this game. I don't know if they're necessarily going to be able to have the late game moxie to be able to pull it off, but if I'm looking at anything, I'm looking at Baylor on the money line, because I think that this is a case in which they either wind up being able to give you an absolutely tremendous performance, or they wind up just falling short a little bit. I do recognize that Oklahoma State has so many guys that are like juniors, seniors on that defensive front, but I do think that Baylor is going to be able to exploit them. I think that the fact that they are going to be able to rack up yards, because I do think that the Oklahoma State defense can be had a little bit in this spot, is going to be big. So I do think that Baylor winds up winning this one. So we're going to be going with them. I'd probably play it a little bit safer with the points, but I do think that there's a good shot among all these Power Five, conference championship games, that they're the ones most likely to be able to pull it off outright. I obviously thought that Utah was going to be able to win on Friday. That wound up being the case. I thought that there was no value there, but if I'm looking at one of these Power 5 upsets to wind up happening, it is with Baylor. So I take a look at them, and I do think that there's a little bit of value on their money line, though. I do think that this is going to be an evenly matched game, because I think that it's going to be a struggle for either team to be able to get to 21 in this one as well. What else is going to be really interesting is that you also have another one that is going to be tipping up, that is going to be kicking off at 9 a.m. Pacific. That would be noon Eastern in Kent State versus Northern Illinois. Right now, you're finding Kent State a lot of spots right around a 3.5-point favorite, and you've got yourself a whopper of a total at 74.5. Now, when it comes to a lot of these high totals, a lot of the overs have been able to come through. I do think that this is a case in which we do wind up seeing a little bit of an under as well. Now, with Northern Illinois, this team has been ghastly bad on the ground. They are giving up right around 217.5 rush yards per game, so that is not necessarily too terrific. And you do have a relatively solid running back for this Kent State team in Marquez Cooper. Cooper has been able to get the team a little bit over 1,000 yards. You take a look at what he wound up doing last time these two teams wound up facing. He wound up being able to put up a 173 with two touchdowns against Northern Illinois in what wound up being a 52-47 game. So you wound up having a little bit of a hairy one there. But you do take a look at Northern Illinois. They were down for most of that game against Kent State. They were able to make a little bit of a fourth quarter rally. The question becomes, was that fourth quarter rally a little bit of something in which Kent State wound up being a little bit too relaxed, or was it a case in which it was just them being able to play great in general? And with Rocky Lombardi in that game, he wound up having 532 yards. But I do think that it is a little bit of a case in which you did wind up having Kent State be a little bit relaxed. And I do think that Kent State is a better team and should be able to win this game by a touchdown. When it comes to Kent State, I do like the way that they have been engineered as well by Dustin Crum. He's been able to do a good job of not turning the ball over, only 4 interceptions from him all season. Now, 2 of them did wind up coming in their last game against Miami of Ohio, and certainly has been the best of times and the worst of times when it comes to this Kent State defense. But I do think that both of these defenses are going to be able to figure out each other as well. And also, in that Northern Illinois versus Kent State game, yeah, Dravion Randolph have over 300 yards receiving in that game. I'm going to go out here on a limb and say that a guy that wound up having 800 receiving yards for the season, not going to go off for another 300 burger, though. You take a look at him, and he has been white hot recently. He has been able to give the team at least 80 receiving yards, and now 4 out of the last 5 weeks, and for the year, he wound up having like 800. So do the math there as to how he was able to come on towards the latter part of the season. But you really don't have many other weapons that have been able to come to the forefront for Northern Illinois ever since he's had his explosiveness. But you do take a look at Kent State. I think that this bunch is going to be able to ratchet up a little bit more on defense when it comes to the Golden Flashes. They were really picked towards the bottom of the MAC coming into the season. They've really been able to do a good job of being able to rebuild themselves. But I do think that this is a case in which you've got a Northern Illinois team in which I just don't like necessarily their recent form. I don't think that they match up very well with Kent State. So I take a look at Kent State. I think that they should be able to hold up a little bit better on defense. So I take a look at them laying 3.5, and I take a look at this total to the under as well. When it comes to the Midwest as well, we're going to hit on this one because it is actually one of the later games that we're going to be seeing on this college football Saturday. As you've got Michigan versus Iowa, and you've got Michigan finding themselves an 11-point favorite, and your total of 143. This is going to be taking place at Lucas Oil Stadium. And when it comes to this Michigan bunch, I think that they should be able to win the game outright. I don't think that you're going to be seeing an outright upset from Iowa. And if you do wind up seeing that, boy, oh boy, there's going to be calamity when it comes to the college football playoff standings. But I take a look at Michigan, and I think that they just play a style in which they're not going to be able to necessarily take it to Iowa to be able to win this game by 2 touchdowns. Now you're seeing a couple 11.5s pop up as well. I like it even more and more. I want to take it on 11 personally with Iowa. When it comes to Iowa, I think that they're going to be able to do a solid job on the ground, because we can all talk about what Hassan Haskins was able to do last week, and it was absolutely magnificent. How about if we talk about what Tyler Goodson has been able to do? In three out of the last 4 weeks, he has really been able to pile up the yards, at least 132 yards in three out of the last four. Really hasn't been able to find the end zone, but he's been able to do a very solid job of being able to tote the rock for this team. Then you take a look at Michigan, and the way I wanted phrasing it on the look ahead yesterday with Cade McNamara, he sort of is like the waiter at a fine restaurant. When it comes to fine restaurant, you've got the chef, you've got the sous chefs, all the people that wind up putting it together, all the people that they wind up just doing an absolutely magnificent job with that. And then you've got Cade McNamara. He's keeping everyone company. He has to deliver the food without spilling the soup and everything like that. That's Cade McNamara. Whatever they've looked to him, he's actually been able to do a relatively solid job. When you need him to clean off the tables, when you have a little bit of an unhappy customer, he does a good job of being able to calm them down, and that is reflected in the fact that he's been able to give you 14 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. He's done a great job of not turning the ball over, but he's a guy that he really just manages things a little bit, and I think that that's very big in this game. Now, you take a look at Iowa. They've been able to do a good job of being able to cut down on the interceptions as well with Petrus and company. I think that he is going to be a real key for this game in just not turning the ball over in general. In that game against Nebraska, it's not like he did anything great, but what he did do is he didn't turn the ball over. And that's exactly what you need from Iowa. A turnover would be a little bit of a killer. I think that Iowa is going to be able to keep things reined in. They have been very opportunistic themselves. I do think that they're going to be able to, at the very minimum, be able to play even up when it comes to turnover battle. And that'll keep them live in this game at 43.5. I think it's going to be a low scoring game. It's just a little bit too low for me to take, but I'm going to be taking a look at the points here when it comes to Iowa. And coming up next, we're going to be taking a look at more of these college football championship games, starting with the SEC up next right here on the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Today's episode of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod features Mattress Mack discussing his $13,000 worth of bets in last week's Kentucky Derby's futures wager. You've also got Anthony Stiebel of New York Racing Association previewing Saturday's Cigar Mile at Aqueduct. You got Paul Slim. He's talking about Circus Sports' new Derby futures, and he handicaps this weekend's races as well. You're able to subscribe at iHeart, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or Stitcher, or download it at vsin.com/podcast. And the Ron Flatter Racing Pod is sponsored by First Bet, as we're back here in Las Vegas for the Greg Peterson Experience with myself, Greg Peterson. We're taking a look at all the big games that we've got going down on this Saturday on the college football card. We've already taken a look at the Big Ten showdown, the Big 12, along with the MAC. How about if we go with the one that so many people are going to be glued to? This would be Georgia versus Alabama. And if you're looking out there, we've seen a few sevens pop. They're very limited, but for the most part, we're seeing a 6.5-point line with Georgia laying it. Your total on this game, you're finding it anywhere between a 49.5, and we're seeing a 48.5 now at DraftKings as well. So we've seen quite a bit of movement on this game, and I wholeheartedly agree with the movement that we are seeing downward with regards to this total. This one wound up opening up more around about a 52 to a 53, wound up dropping very quickly after that, and we have just seen it go down and down and down, and I mean, it's justified with the way that Georgia has been able to play on defense. This is one of the best defenses that we've seen this millennium, and I'm not overstating it, I feel. I mean, you just take a look at this team. They have went 12-0, and they've been steamrolling teams with Stetson Bennett at quarterback. Now, I mean, it's not like Stetson Bennett is some sort of a bum or anything like that, but certainly you wouldn't be expecting a college football playoff contending team and a number one team with regards to college football playoff rankings to be outlined by Stetson Bennett. And he's been able to do a nice job of not turning the ball over a heck of a lot. One interception in the last four games, but he's not necessarily a guy that's going to take a top off of a defense. Now, he's been helped out with guys like Zamir White and company out there in the backfield. And now the real test is what is going to succeed, the Heisman hopeful quarterback or the absolutely stout defense? Because Bryce Young has not really been slowed down this year. He has been tremendous. 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 3,900 yards. And you're able to throw out there all the superlatives that you're able to. In the last 5 games, he has been held to under 300 yards once. That was a game against New Mexico State, in which it was just such a blowout that he didn't wind up playing for much of the game. So, I mean, you're able to have that sort of approach with that as well. But you take a look at the times they did wind up struggling against Florida. He did wind up having just 240 yards, completed about 60% of his passes against LSU, wound up completing 65% of his passes. He never really had any sort of a dud or a clunker. So that is interesting with the Auburn game. He wound up having a little bit of one there as well. And what you notice in that Auburn game, he was sacked 7 times. This is a Georgia team that they do a great job of being able to get to the quarterback. That front seven is just absolutely lethal. What I think is going to be able to keep Alabama in the game, though, is that I do think that they are going to be able to take the pressure off a little bit, and that's with a good running game as well, because we all talk about Bryce Young and how great he has been. You have been able to have just the stable of running backs be able to do a solid job as well. Now, you want to know, Brian Robinson, he is a little bit questionable for this game. It seems as though he should be able to go. It seems as though he was really trying to work things out in practice. Now, what percentage of Brian Robinson are you going to be able to get as well? Is he going to be towards like 85%? Is he going to be at 70%? Is he going to be at 99%? That is a big question. I fully expect him to go, but with that said, if he does wind up going, what percentage is he going to need to be? Because from there, you wind up having really Roydell Williams along Trey Sanders, a pair of guys that they were able to combine for about 500 yards rushing on about 100 carries. So, I mean, they're still solid running backs, but Ryan Robinson Jr., he certainly was the bell cow for this team as well. And I think that that's going to be just so big, because it's going to force Georgia to be able to respect the play action, to be able to just give Bryce Young a little bit more room to operate, give different looks as well. I do take a look at this spot. Even with the injury, I do think that Alabama should be able to cover this line, because and it's a Georgia team that they themselves, I think, is going to have a little bit of a tough time with an Alabama team that we all talk about how great the offense is, but still, at the heart and soul of this team, it is really the defense. They did wind up having that clunker against Arkansas, which things wound up becoming a big giant shootout, but really past that, they've been able to do a nice job of being able to bottle up both the run and the pass as well. So I do take a look at this spot, and I do think that you're going to see yourself something like a 21-17, a 24-21 style game. I think that here, even with the drop in the total, you've still got a lot of value on the under end. I do think that Alabama going to be able to hang within a touchdown. I don't know if they wind up pulling this one off outright. If I was looking at an upset to take on the money line, I would certainly be taking a look at Baylor before I'd be taking a look at Alabama. But I do think that Alabama is very live in this game. So we're going to be taking a look at the points with Alabama. And it's a spot in which we're going to be taking a look at the under as well. You're going to be seeing that on the best bets chart that we're going to be doing at the end of the show as well. So have no fear there. If you wind up missing out on anything, you're able to listen back via the VSiN Best Bets podcast. So we've got you covered in a wide variety of forms there, but we've got you covered when it comes to the West Coast as well. We head to good old Carson, California for San Diego State versus Utah State. You're finding San Diego State as a pretty good favorite in this spot. You're finding them at 6 points, total on this game, 49.5. And I do think that San Diego State should be able to win this game by a touchdown. Now, with Utah State, it was a little bit of a strange start to the season for them, as they wound up having that good win on the road against Washington State. You didn't know how good it was going to be. They then wind up dropping games to Boise State and BYU, and then ever since then, they wound up being able to roll up on teams. But with Utah State, really, aside from that win against San Jose State, they haven't really been convincing against bad competition. They wound up winning the UNLV game by 4. They had a tough time with Colorado State. Heck, they even allowed New Mexico State to be able to hang in there a little bit as well. So that's a little bit of a concern. When it comes to the San Diego State team, they always just hang their hat on defense, and I think that they're going to be able to do so once again. When it comes to the San Diego State team, they're allowing 78.5 yards on the ground. That is in the top five at all of college football. They've been able to do an absolutely tremendous job there. When it comes to this Utah State team as well, they have been a little bit more of an aerial team, so that's going to help them out a little bit. Logan Bonner has been able to give you 32 touchdowns. He has been rock solid for this team, but you do take a look at things with him as well, and I do think that it is a case in which he needs to be playing like he did the last few weeks, in which he doesn't turn the ball over, because he does have a tendency to throw a couple of interceptions. He's already thrown 10 of them this season, so that is something that is a little bit of a concern to me. And when it comes to this San Diego State team, what has been very good for this bunch is the fact that they've been able to find a little bit more on the ground, as you've been able to get a lot recently out of Greg Bell. Bell has been able to rack it up recently. He wound up having a nice 100-yard game against Nevada a few weeks ago, so I think that that's going to be very important. It's found the end zone in 3 out of the last 5 weeks as well. When it comes to the San Diego State team, you know that they're going to be well coached. You know that with Utah State as well, it's a bunch of which they're going to be really looking to one main weapon on the outside. They've got one of the more in terms of usage, higher guys out there in Devin Tompkins. He's got 1,500 yards. He has been absolutely tremendous for this Utah State team. He's a guy that is a little bit of a rare breed in which he's able to do both, be a deep threat, and he's also able to catch that ball on like third and seven. He's able to go 10 yards, be able to move the sticks, be that little bit of a safety blanket for Utah State. So I think that is something that is very beneficial for them as well. But I do take a look at San Diego State, and I just feel more secure about the team because every single time they've needed to take care of business, they've been able to do so. Now, I have no idea why they were a home underdog against Boise State a week ago. I wound up taking them on the money line personally. That was absolutely tremendous. And you saw in that game that San Diego State did wind up getting down early, but they were able to rally themselves. They still wound up holding on for the under, by the way, for those of you guys that wound up betting that as well. But when it comes to San Diego State, what I think is going to be so important for this team is what you're going to be able to get out of the quarterback spot as well, because it was Jordan Brookshire who wound up getting the start in that one, as it has been a little bit of a revolving door at quarterback for San Diego State. Some due to just play in general, a little bit more due to injury as well. But when it comes to San Diego State, seems like they've got, for the most part, a full complement of guys out there that all have experience as well. And I do think that San Diego State going to be able to get it done. I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a lower scoring game as well. When it comes to Utah State, their best bet is being able to get this game into more of like a 35-28 style shootout. I don't think that San Diego State is going to be having any of that whatsoever. So I take a look at it. I do wind up pretty much combining the under along with San Diego State in this spot as well, as it looks like it will be Brookshire once again. You do want to be checking in on the status of this as well, but it seems more likely than not that you're going to be getting Brookshire quarterback. And after seeing what he wound up doing against Boise State, I feel relatively solid with him as well. You've got to be feeling solid about everything that we've got in college football this week as well. And something that you just want to take a look at with regards to college football as well, and I've been mentioning it with so many of these sports as well, we've just been seeing a nice trend to the under. We've been seeing it in the NBA. We've been seeing it in the NFL. List goes on and on. Right around 52.5% of games have wound up going under the total. You don't necessarily have a lot of games that are going to be taking place in what I would call a true home stadium. Now, when it comes to San Diego State, they are going to be playing that game in the state of California. That's going to be beneficial to them. But coming up on the other side, we are going to be taking a look at a pair of games that they are going to be played in their home stadium. That would be Cincinnati versus Houston. I think that that's going to have a lot to do with that line. And then you've also got the Appalachian State versus Louisiana game, of which you're going to be finding Louisiana as a home underdog at Cajun Field. So that is going to be coming up on the other side. And then in the final segment, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of college basketball as well, as it's going to be a big, giant college sports Saturday in general. We've got you covered on all of it right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As you are listening to the Greg Peterson Experience.
Seen Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Greg Peterson Experience right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, coming at you from Las Vegas, more specifically Circa, the wonderful sportsbook and resort out here. And we've got you for two more segments, about 30 minutes. Going to be looking at some college football. Going to be looking at a little bit of college basketball along the way as well, giving you guys some best bets for this Saturday. So we've got a little bit of everything going on, and I mentioned it coming out of the other side as well. We were talking about the fact that when it comes to these conference championship games in college football, most of these are taking place on a neutral field. Like, you wind up having Lucas Oil Stadium, you wind up having something like AT&T Stadium as well, but you've got a pair of games that are going to be taking place on a little bit more of true home fields. And you've got this one with regards to a team that's trying to make the college football playoff, trying to become the first ever group of five team to be able to do so. Cincinnati, we are on to Cincinnati, and they are going to be playing us to Houston. You've got Cincinnati as a 10.5 point favorite and your total of 53. And I don't think that there's any chance of an upset here. I think that Cincinnati is going to be able to win this game. They're going to be able to win this game by at least two touchdowns as well. When it comes to Desmond Ridder, he's been able to do just a tremendous job at quarterback of this team. Now, he did wind up having those pair of interceptions against East Carolina, but he's just got so many guys around him that allow him to just really be himself, that allow him to be able to make it a mistake or two. here and there because this Cincinnati defense has just been swallowing opponents whole. Now, they can be at a little bit more on the ground game, and when it comes to Houston, you do have a relatively solid rushing attack with the seam. Alton Mescal has been able to headline it, 16 touchdowns on the ground. Not necessarily a guy that has been getting a ton of carries recently. You take a look at it, he's seen 9 carries or fewer in now 3 of the team's last 5 games. He's a little bit more of a home run hitter running back, as Houston has a little bit more of a two-headed monster when it comes to that. But when it comes to Houston as well, what I think is going to be very critical for them, Clayton Tune cannot turn the ball over for this team. If you wind up having turnovers, that is going to lead to a doomsday scenario. I think that he's going to be able to do a good job of being able to lock it in, but we've seen exactly what has happened when interceptions wind up happening. That is really going to be really the death nail for them. Now, Tune completes right around 67% of his passes. He's been relatively solid in that aspect, but when it comes to this Houston team as well, we have seen it when they wind up taking a little bit of a step up in competition. That's been rough for them. They wound up having a very close game against the East Carolina Bunch, of which Cincinnati was able to dispatch of very easily. That Memphis game was a little bit hairier than the final score would seem to indicate as well. Now, for Houston, they are on an 11-game win streak of their own. They're a Houston Bunch that they are ranked at 11-1 overall. They wound up having a little bit of a shootout against SMU, and they've really been a interesting team because they played some really low scoring games and they played some really high scoring games. I always call it, when I do college basketball work, when it comes to a team, that they're able to win in a very high slash low scoring fashion, a little bit of a chameleon. And I think that it's fair to call Houston that in this instance as well. But what I think is going to be absolutely critical for Cincinnati, getting Jerome Ford the ball and getting him the ball often. He has been just tremendous of being a stabilizing force for the Cincinnati team. He's had a rushing touchdown each out of the last 5 weeks. It's not a case in which you need him to go out there and erupt for like 100-plus yards. As a matter of fact, he has rushed for 90 yards or fewer in each out of the last 5 weeks. But what he does is he allows Desmond Ridder to be able to have a little bit more time back there because teams now have to respect the run a little bit more. With Houston, you take a look at this rush defense, and it's been relatively solid, but they can be at a little bit more when you are able to throw out them multiple looks. I think that Cincinnati's going to be able to do so. And with Cincinnati, I think that they're going to be able to do a great job of being able to just take away what Houston winds up doing best. I think that they're going to be able to get a takeaway or two. I do think that having to travel on the road for this game is something that is going to be impactful for Houston as well. So I take a look at Cincinnati. I think that they're going to have everything in the world to play for. I think that they're going to be able to win this game by multiple touchdowns. So I take them at 10.5 in this spot, even with the hook now on the 10. I do think that there's relatively solid value there. You've got that game in which involves a true home team as a favorite. Now you've got this one in which the home team is both ranked and an underdog. A little bit of an interesting spot between Appalachian State and Louisiana. When it comes to Louisiana, you're getting them as a 2.5-point underdog in this spot, and you're finding the total at 52. I think that this is such an intriguing game because you've got an Appalachian State bunch that they wound up playing against Louisiana earlier in the year, and when it came to that game, they wound up getting drubbed by a count of 41-13. So revenge is certainly going to be there for Appalachian State. The question is, are they going to be able to get it? And I do think that this is actually a relatively solid spot for Appalachian State. Now, you take a look at what you're able to get out of Louisiana, and you've got Levi Lewis, who has been able to throw for right around 18 touchdowns, 4 picks. He's able to do a good job of being able to move around with his feet as well. But when it comes to Appalachian State, what wound up happening in that game that they wound up playing against Louisiana earlier in the year, Murphy's Law. You wound up having a pair of uncharacteristic interceptions thrown by Chase Bryce. You take a look at Bryce recently. He has been thrown for a couple interceptions as well, but in the middle, he was able to really lock in. And this Appalachian State offense has really just been rolling up on teams, and he's backed up by a very good defense as well. A defense in which, really aside from this game against Louisiana, has been able to hold up every single time this season. What else I think is big for Appalachian State in that game against Louisiana? 17 carries for 44 yards out of Nate Noel. You've got to feel like he's going to be able to erupt a little bit more in this game as well. Now, he has been feast or famine. You take a look at his last 5 games, 132 yards, 122 yards, 22, 102, and 21. So you have seen a wide range of things for him because he's a little bit more of a home run hitter. It's not necessarily a case in which Appalachian State is going to hand him the ball like 30 times or anything like that. But when it comes to Appalachian State, I do think that they're going to be able to do a nice job on defense. This is an Appalachian State team that they do a nice job of being able to get a couple turnovers as well. Even in that game that they wound up playing a little bit earlier in the season, Lewis did wind up throwing an interception for Louisiana as well. So I think that Appalachian State certainly is going to be able to do a good job of being able to put good pressure on Louisiana. When it comes to Louisiana, they do have a little bit of a nice home field advantage in this spot, which if it wasn't for that home field advantage, I think that Appalachian State will win this game by north of a touchdown. With it being a little bit more of a true road game, I think that it's going to be a little bit more reined in. But with Appalachian State, they do a good job of being able to take away the ground. And for Louisiana, they're giving up right around 144 yards per game with regards to the rushing attack as well. So I do think that that is going to be a little bit rough now with Louisiana, obviously a team that has been able to do a solid job on defense recently. But Appalachian State, you just take a look at what they've been able to do as well. They have given up a combined 31 points the last 4 weeks. I recognize that this was against the likes of Arkansas State, Georgia Southern and company, but still, the fact that they've been playing this well has me feeling good about them. I do think that there's going to be a little bit of a revenge factor. I think that Appalachian State is going to be able to get it. So laying 2.5 here with Appalachian State. What else we've got to be taking a look at? The ACC championship game, as you've got Wake Forest versus Pitt, as you've got Pitt, who wound up opening up more on a 2-point favorite. Now you're finding them as a 3.5-point favorite, and you got a total of anywhere between 71 and 72. I do think that this is a case in which the total being set this high is warranted, because you take a look at Pittsburgh and you've had Kenny Pickett just have one of the best seasons we've seen for a quarterback in quite a while. I mean, these numbers are just Looney Tunes right here. 40 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, over 4,000 yards. He's been completing darn near 68% of his passes, so he has been absolutely magnificent for the team. And then you take a look on the other side, and you've had Sam Hartman do a great job as well. He's been able to register right around 3,700 yards of his own. Now, the thing that has me concerned about him in this game, he has thrown a combined 7 interceptions in the last 4 games. Now, he was playing against a little bit of better defenses. He had the stretch of the North Carolina schools, NC State and UNC, along Clemson. And I think that that's a big part of it, because whenever he's played against better competition, Wake Forest has sunk a little bit. And then when it comes to Wake Forest as well, this is a team that they don't move the ball quite as well on the ground as Pittsburgh. You've got a relative stalemate when it comes to these rushing attacks, but I do think that Pittsburgh is going to be able to get a little bit more out of their ground game. When it comes to Pittsburgh, it's a bunch of which they've been playing quite a few close games recently. That overtime game against North Carolina, so they wound up getting a little bit of a test there. Meanwhile, for Wake Forest, they're just giving up points upon points. They have given up ever since that Duke game, which was just a complete and utter bludgeoning. At least 42 points in now 3 out of the last 4 games, and now they have to go up against one of the most explosive quarterbacks in all of college football in Kenny Pickett. I think that it's a little bit of a doomsday spot for them. You've got a Wake Forest team that they're just not carrying the pass to be able to save their lives. I mean, I think that both of these teams are going to be able to get to 35 in this spot, because really, you take a look at the Pittsburgh side as well. They've been playing a little bit better with regards to recent form, but it's still not great. But I do take a look at Pittsburgh as well, and it's really been a three-headed monster for them out there in the ground game as well. I mean, Vincent Davis and Rodney Hammond Jr. have been able to do a nice job recently for this team as well, with Hammond not necessarily as many touchdowns for him, but he does a good job of being able to move the chains. So I do think that that is something that you would got to be taking a look at as well. They do a good job of being able to relieve Kenny Pickett, but with Pickett as well, I do think that he's going to be the better of these two quarterbacks in this spot. So I do take a look at this. I do think that there is some good value here on Pittsburgh. I think that the line move is very much warranted, even at a 3.5, because I do think that it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think that Pittsburgh is going to be plenty of points. I still think that they wind up covering this, despite the fact that we've seen a little bit of move here. Totals remain relatively steady, but like I was saying, I think that both of these teams, they wind up being able to put up 35 in the spot, so I'm certainly all aboard and over. And I am all aboard being able to give you guys some great picks for what is going to be a great college sports Saturday. So coming up next, I'm going to give you guys my New York Post pick when it comes to college basketball, and recapping what I like on the college football card for Saturday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Seen Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN holiday offer is here right now. When you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to be able to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry up. This is a limited time offer, so to be able to get these perfect sports betting holiday gifts, go to vsin.com/subscribe. As it is the final segment of the Greg Peterson Experience right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And have no fear, we've got you covered all throughout the day with regards to what is going to be a college football championship Saturday, a big college basketball Saturday as well. We're going to be taking a look forward to what is going to be a jam-packed Sunday in the NFL. We've got you covered starting at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern, from Yoba Befe and Company on Point Spread Saturday. And then you've just got a whole bevy of shows all throughout the day looking at live betting, previews, recaps, list goes on and on. So we've got you all locked, loaded, and ready to go there. And with regards to my New York Post play, when it comes to what we've got on this Saturday, I've got you all locked, loaded, and ready to go there as we wind up going to the Pac-12 for this one, as it is, if you're looking on the rotation, 679-680 USC against Washington State. This is a relative pick'em game. In some spots, you're going to be finding this as a pick'em. Other spots, you're going to be finding USC as a one-point favorite, but you've got something along those lines. And when it comes to the total, we have seen it tick up a little bit. It wound up starting out more around a 138, 138 and a half. Now you're going to be finding it in a lot of spots, anywhere between a 138 and a half, a few out there, but a lot of 139 and a half, and even a straight 140 out there as well. But when it comes to this, I wound up saying Washington State as a 5.5 point favorite. So they are my play. I'm going to be taking a look at them. Excuse me, as I take a look at them either on the money line, or if it winds up being a pick'em as a pick'em, I think that they wind up winning the game outright. So being able to reduce the juice a little bit is something that I certainly am all aboard on. But when it comes to the Washington State team, I love the way that they want to play defense against Arizona State. Then again, Arizona State, they wanted scoring 29 points in that game. I have absolutely no idea what's going on in Tempe, but when it comes down to it with Washington State, I think that they're going to be able to win the battle of the guards. I like what you're able to get out of Michael Flowers, someone that last year was able to chip in there right around 21 points per game while he was at South Alabama. Now you take a look at the flip side, and Boogie Ellis has been able to do a relatively solid job thus far for USC. He's been able to chip in there darn near 16 points per game, shooting over 40% from three-point range. He's been very solid ever since coming over from Memphis, but you're going to need to get a little bit more out of guys like an Ethan Anderson, a Drew Peterson, a pair of guys that are combining for right in the neighborhood about 16.5 points per game. You've got a USC bunch that, when it comes to why they're going to lose this game, free throw shooting. They are out of 358 D1 teams, 356th in the country when it comes to free throw shooting. That would be 57.4%. Now, when it comes to free throw shooting in college basketball, I look at it in a variety. I look at it in two ways. When you wind up taking like an underdog that would be catching like 6, 8 points, something like that, it's not as big of a deal, because typically when you wind up finding a spread like that, you're going to be thinking that the team that is up by like 6, 8 points, they're going to be the ones marching to the free throw line rather than the team that is trailing. But when you wind up having a case like this where it's a pick 'em, you're laying a few points and you think that there's going to be late game fouling, I absolutely feel very, very bad whenever I'm on the side of the bad free throw shooting team. Now, what you do have for this USC team as well, Isaiah Mosley along Chavez Goodwin, they've been able to do a good job down low. I combined 25.5 points, right around 17 boards per game, and you've been able to get right around a block and a steal per game out of Mobley. He's someone that's saying 6-7 feet tall, he's able to shoot some threes. But when it comes to Washington State as well, what I think is going to be a big key for them, TJ Bamba, is someone that's able to come in off the bench. He's able to give the team some very good three-point shots. And then Mohammed Gay has been able to come in as a freshman. He has looked very solid, 7 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. So you've got a lot of good weapons when it comes to this team. And even Andrej Jakimovski, who wanted coming in from North Macedonia about 2 years ago, he's been able to do a good job whenever he's been given minutes as well. I've seen his minutes slash a little bit, but still a good rim protector. He's someone that at right around 6'10", is able to shoot a couple threes. And then you've also got Tyrell Ghost Roberts, who hasn't necessarily been efficient with his shooting, but he's shooting 38% from three-point range, 13 points per game. I like Washington State on the whatever spread you wind up having, because it's hard to explain, because in some spots they're a one-point favorite, some spots they're a one-point underdog, so you could have a wide variety of numbers. I'll make this very simple. I think Washington State winds winning this game by right around 5 to 6 points. So take Washington State, whether that be as a money line underdog or in like a little bit more of a pick'em game. So that's where I'm going to be looking there. When you take a look at the college basketball betting board, you've got a lot of very interesting games. I've been hitting on quite a few of them in these last few hours. But one team that really stands out to me that I think is a little bit of an enigma, that would be SMU. This is 681, 682 on the betting board. They're going to be playing us a Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is finding themselves anywhere between a 3.5 and a 4-point underdog. Your tallest game is anywhere between 137.5 and 138. Raise your hand if you have been burnt by SMU, who has been leading by double digits and then blown that lead. Over the last 12 months, I swear SMU has blown more double-digit leads than any team I can ever remember. I wound up setting SMU as a 4-point favorite at 3.5. I do like them. I mean, I might be the like little mouse that might be chasing the cheese once again, but when it comes to SMU, it certainly is a team that they've got all the talent to be able to contend for an NCAA tournament bid. I mean, this is actually a really good SMU team. You've got a guy in Kendrick Davis who has been able to do a absolutely superb job out there in the backcourt for this team. He's able to chip in there right around 20 points per game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He's able to shoot very well from three-point range as well. So he's got all the goods. You wind up bringing in the Weathers brothers, Michael and Marcus Weathers. You may recall they wound up beginning their careers like 25 years ago at Miami of Ohio. Then they were at Oklahoma State. Then they wound up going their own ways. So it's been a long and winding road for them. And Tristan Clark, I do feel like, could be a little bit of an X factor moving forward for this team, because while he was at Baylor during that 2018-19 season, his injury, for one, actually gave Baylor the blueprint as to why they've had so much success, because he was so gosh darn good. He was shooting over 70% from the floor, and he was doing a great job of being dominant down low, but they wound up going to a little bit more of a three-point shooting style when he wound up going down due to injury. He's been able to give the team right around 7 points, 4 boards, so he's able to be a relatively solid rim protector. Emmanuel Vandermeer is able to shoot 42% from three-point range. And then you take a look at Vanderbilt. You do have Scottie Pippen Jr., who last season, with regards to free throws attempted on a per-game basis, he was in the top three in all of college basketball. And what I do like for Vanderbilt as well, you've been able to have an ancillary piece be able to step up around him. Jordan Wright, he's been able to give the team 15 points, 5.5 boards, has been rock solid, shooting 44% from three-point range. Miles Stute has also been able to shoot 40% from three, right around 10 points per game. But this is a team that they've got four guys that's averaging more than 8 points per game, and then you just have a massive fall-off. Guys like Jermaine Mann, Trey Thompson, these guys just need to be able to give this team a little bit more, and I'm not necessarily seeing it from Vanderbilt. I think that it's a squad in which they're just a little bit too top-heavy, because aside from Wright and Stute, you've got nobody else that has attempted at least 2 threes per game, shooting above 30% from three-point range. As a collective, Vanderbilt shoots right around 32% from three-point range, so it's been a little bit hit or miss there when it comes to Vanderbilt as well. It's a team that they have been able to guard the three relatively well thus far this year, but when you take a look at just who Vanderbilt has played in general, I think that they're going to get a little bit exposed in this spot, because you do have a Vanderbilt team in which you wound up having them play against Mississippi Valley State. They did wind up having that game against Pittsburgh, but as we know, Pittsburgh has certainly fallen on some very tough times. You've got the Alabama State, Texas State game. So I do think that they are going to be a little bit of a product of having to try to step up in competition. Meanwhile, for SMU, they certainly have played against better competition. So even though SMU has blown a whole bunch of leads this year, I'm going to trust in them once again at 3.5. I'm going to wind up playing it here. I will blame nobody other than myself if they wind up blowing another double-digit lead, but we are going to be going back down that rabbit hole once again. And we're going to be going down the rabbit hole of some college football bets, as we've got a 5-pack for you guys. I've touched on these all throughout the hour, but I do think that Cincinnati, on their home field, they are going to be able to win, and they are going to be able to win comfortably against Houston. I wound up getting them at a 10. Right now, we're seeing between 10 to 10.5 on this line. I wound up taking an 11 with Iowa. Right now, we're seeing a lot of 11.5. I don't think that they wind up being able to win the game outright against Michigan, but I think that they're going to be able to hold in there. I think that it's going to be a little bit more of a defensive slog. I was talking about this one in the last segment with Appalachian State versus Louisiana. Appalachian State going to be out for revenge after they wound up losing the first time these two teams wound up doing battle by 4 touchdowns. And I think that Appalachian State is going to be able to clean up the turnover woes that they wound up having in that game. And then when it comes to the big one out there in the SEC, I've got 6.5 points with Alabama, and I took the under of 49.5. We have seen that number move a little bit. I still recommend an under at 48.5. I think that neither of these teams are going to be able to get to 21 points. The Georgia defense just so dominant, but I think that Alabama finds a way to be able to hold in there, and we are going to be able to hold it down all day for you right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got you covered with wall-to-wall coverage of college football and everything else for your sports betting Saturday right here on the Sports Betting Network.